Amen. Aren't you glad for farmers, right?
Amen.
All right. We're going to start a sermon series, and I was going to say a new sermon series, but obviously it's new because I'm new. So anything we do from now on is going to be new. It's a great feeling. But we're going to talk about what is the gospel. Now, the gospel message is the foundational message of what we believe as Christians. And there's a lot of things to look into that. But before we get into necessarily what is the gospel, we have to establish where is the source of the gospel come from. And that comes directly from the Bible. But before we get into that, we're going to look at our sermon series. What we're going to look at the next few weeks is obviously the title is going to be What is the Gospel? The gospel is found in Scripture, in the truth of Scripture alone. The gospel is received by faith alone. It's given by grace alone. And the gospel is the new good news of Jesus Christ alone. And the gospel changes the heart of a person so that they will live for the glory of God alone. And that's going to be our sermon series for the next few weeks. So, like I said, the foundation of all of these beliefs is found in the pages of Scripture. Scripture is the only thing that governs a church. It's not a traditional thing. We don't operate off of traditions. We don't operate off of what conventions or bodies tell us to do. Listen, I understand as Southern Baptist, we have the Baptist faith and message, and that is our governing doctrine that we, or not doctrine, document that we have. But even that is based off of what Scripture teaches. Scripture is given by inspiration, or literally, as 2 Timothy 3:16 reads, that it is all Scripture is breathed out by God, meaning God spoke it literally out of His mouth into the ears of men and women who wrote it down through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So what makes Scripture profitable? It's given by God. Scripture, you think about all the fun stories you had as a kid. Who remembers the fun Bible stories? How many of you remember David and Goliath? Oh, that's a fun one. Ruth and all, Boaz, Naomi. We could go down the line, Moses and the Red Sea, and we think, oh, man, these are fun stories. Here's what's really fun about that. All of those things actually happened. They're not just, you know, little stories that we read and go, man, that's quite something. There was a long-haired hippie dude named Samson who got his hair cut by a bad lady. He didn't look strong after that. But here's the fun about Samson is that even, you know, man's strength is temporary, but only through God can we do anything. So we get into our passage here. Scripture is important because it directs the church. Jason Keith Allen, the president of Midwestern Seminary, has this to say on this topic. Scripture establishes the church. The church does not establish the Scriptures. Scripture judges the church. The church does not judge the Scriptures. The church did not create the Scripture. The Scriptures created the church. The Scriptures are the most important thing that we have as believers. We have we do have a pandemic in our country, and I'm not going to say it's COVID. I'm going to say it's biblical ignorance. And it's in our churches. And it's willful biblical ignorance. And why would I say it's willful? That's kind of harsh. How many of you have a smartphone? And on your smartphone, you can have multiple translations of Scripture on it. And I'm guilty. My smartphone's a jerk, by the way. Every Sunday morning, I get this report of how much time I spend on my phone. Hateful thing it is. Here's the problem with that. On my phone, I have social media apps, but I also have Bible apps. Which one do you spend the most time on? Christians are willfully ignorant of Scripture because we do not put the time in to read and study the Scriptures. We have literally the spoken word out of God's mouth that is good for... turn to 2 Timothy 3:16, so we're all on the same page here. We're going to be bouncing in and out of Scripture all day today. There's not going to be one set text we're going to look at. This is on the topic of what makes Scripture, why Scripture alone, and various things like that. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, or Christians in general, may be complete, equipped for every good work. Scripture is how we grow as believers. Paul says in the book of Romans that he didn't know that it was wrong for him to covet until he read it. This is where we're Christian. Everybody's born with a conscience. But it's when a person becomes a Christian, we're led by what the Scriptures teach, and that's how we grow. So What makes Scripture reliable? Well, God is the author of it. Not only does it say that in 2 Timothy 3:16, but it says this in Psalm 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. Again, in Psalm 19:7 and 8, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And in Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his word, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. The Bible is such a wonderful thing because we develop a whole theology based off of the whole of Scripture, starting in Genesis all the way to Revelation. It all interweaves and intertwines together to be one cohesive book. You have the Old Testament prophets that bring in things that God had told them to say, and it all is pointing to one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel is literally good news. It's what it means. So when you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the good news of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Who is the central figure of all four gospels? Jesus Christ. We need good news. Why do we need good news? I mean, I won't go there. It's still too soon. The Super Bowl didn't quite pan out for y'all. So we need some good news around here, right? Let's time out here. Mindy and I were upset about that. The only part about that we were upset is Tom Brady is continuing to play. We thought maybe the Chiefs would lose and Brady would retire and it'd be a good day for us, but can't win them all, right? I'm making friends right off the bat. Doing well. Why do we need good news besides that things are, you know, our world is in chaos? Things don't go like we want them to, but why do we need good news? Romans chapter 3 gives us some truth that is hard to swallow. Because it's very easy for me to think that, man, I'm a pretty good guy. And babies, we think babies are really sweet. Let me tell you something about babies. They are the most selfish things on the face of the earth. They don't care if you sleep, as long as they get what they need, when they want it, how they want it. Yeah, they're cute. Yeah, they do sweet things. They can't help. They need us. Listen, y'all are looking at me like, how dare you talk ill of babies? How can you say that? Listen, we are all born with a sinful nature. Those little babies, Vodi Bakum calls them vipers in diapers. They're sweet, they're kind, but you ever notice when a baby's just screaming their lungs off like something is terribly wrong, but as soon as you pick them up, they're done screaming? That's their sinful nature. So this is what we find out in Romans 3. It is not something that is encouraging, but it's something that is truthful and vital for us to understand. And this is why we need good news. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse number 11, says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks after God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We need good news because, as Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Guess what the word all is in the Greek? This is some really deep study here for you today. Are you ready? The word all in the Greek means all. Told you it was deep. The day we were conceived in our mother's wombs to the day we were born, we were conceived in sin. You remember what David said in the Psalms? He says, in iniquity, I was formed in my mother's womb. Meaning, even before he was born, he was sinful. And we know we're looking at David's life through what we read in Scriptures. Absolutely, he was. How many people could we say is a person we want to emulate who's had an adulterous affair and then has his, nice words, the lady he's having an affair with, having her husband murdered, and then trying to lie and cover it up? If we knew of somebody like that, we'd say, man, that is a bad dude. This is a testimony that David has. He is a man after God's own heart. How do they get a testimony like that when he's that type of a person? Grace. So this is, we are all born into that because of one person. All of you that are farmers, I appreciate all the hard work you do. I've seen a lot of y'all running around in your Rangers, working the fields, work checking your cattle and all of that in this sub-zero temperature. If you don't like doing that, go back to the beginning, see how the fall of man happened. That is why we have to work the way we do, is because of sin. Anything that is negative or bad in this world is a result of sin. Sin ruined everything. You look back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, all they had, seriously, Adam and Eve, one command. God says, you can tend this garden, you can eat anything you want out of it, just don't touch that one. Because in the day that you do, what's going to happen? You will surely die. Adam and Eve ate of it, what happened to them in that day? They didn't die. They messed up, and God put curses on them. And he said, man, listen, Adam, you do this, you're going to toil the land, and it's going to be toilsome. You're going to labor by the sweat of your brow, and all sorts of things that fell apart then. Listen, there wasn't bloodshed prior to the fall of man. There had to be a covering for that iniquity. Remember how Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves up? Good illustration of man's righteousness. It's never good enough. God had to shed, kill an animal to cover them. And then what happened then? They had brothers that got along really well. Cain killed Abel. We see a fall of sin and a result of that. So when we were born with a sinful nature. Romans 5:12 says this, just the same sin came into the world through one man and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. So it doesn't matter the good works that we may possess. They're still filthy rags in the eyes of a holy God. So where does our help come from? Obviously, we're in a peril. We have nothing good about us. But I'm not telling you, this is encouraging stuff right here, right off the bat. We don't have anything good that we can bring to a holy God that's going to be pleasing to a holy God. So what do? There's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6, one of my favorite verses of all time, says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. The Bible teaches us one simple thing. Salvation is not dependent upon us. And it's a good thing. Let's think about this. If salvation was dependent upon us, who didn't turn their phone off before they came up here? Salvation is important, the most important thing of all time. But you think about how easily can man mess things up? Very easily. It doesn't take much. I mean, it starts when they're young. You get a group of toddlers together, throw two toys in and say, all right, you guys share. How well is that going to go? It's not. Mankind messes everything up. It's because we're sinful. It's because we're not good. But Christ is good. So the Bible teaches us that salvation is dependent not upon us, but upon the work that Christ did completely. Jonathan Edwards, great early American preacher, says this, you contribute nothing to your salvation except the sin that made it necessary. Now that's great news. Because this, listen, we're good at sinning. You want to know something we're good at? Think about this. We are good at sinning. And you're like, Brother Mike, that sounds harsh. It's the truth about us. How many of you would like to have every thought that you have thought this morning put up on that wall for everybody to read? None of us would volunteer for that, because why? We're sin. Are we with our... How many of you are feeling good about who you are now? We all have sin. I woke up today, I am a sinner, but this is the good news. I don't have to try to work my way to God. Because what we read in Romans 3, I'm not trying to find my way to God. So unless God does something miraculous, I have no hope to get to him. But God did. So right after we read in Romans 5 that Adam made everything bad, it also says this, is, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by grace that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of the one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience that were made, many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abound all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that is a beautiful doctrine called imputation, meaning when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he took our sin upon him. That is the only sacrifice that would be able to atone for the sin of mankind. And so when that sacrifice was put on him, our sinfulness went into his account. His righteousness went into our account as if we had never sinned. The most unfair exchange in all of history. Listen, if you follow football and you think the Detroit Lions ripped off St. Louis Rams, Los Angeles Rams, you're absolutely right. But even more so is this exchange here of salvation. My sinfulness went into Christ's account, who is the only person in the history of all mankind who has never, ever, once in their whole life sinned, Jesus Christ. God made him to be sin who knew no sin so that we could be the beneficiaries of that. That's good news. That's what this is all about. This is why the Bible teaches the gospel is all about. We need hope, we need help, and we can't do it on our own. So how does this happen? God initiates it. The Bible says in John 6:44 that we cannot come to Christ unless we are drawn by the Father. We call that conviction. The Bible also tells us in Ezekiel 36:26 that God then takes out a heart of stone and replaces it with a heart of flesh and puts his spirit within us. This is regeneration. This is when Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's what Jesus was talking about. Nicodemus, let's talk about Nicodemus for a second here. I told you we're going to be bouncing all over the place. Nicodemus was a religious person. He was a Pharisee. He was on the Sanhedrin. If we're looking at it from 20, are we in the 21st century now? I'm old. I remember living in the 90s, so it was only 10 years ago, by the way. Some of you are like, no. Nicodemus, if we're looking at it like that, we'd say, man, Nicodemus is a dedicated church member. He would make a phenomenal Sunday school teacher. He really knows his stuff. He comes to Jesus by night. Why did he go to Jesus by night? He was ashamed and embarrassed and scared because they had already told anybody, the Jews did, that anybody that follows after Christ would lose their temple privileges. That's everything. That's where they did commerce. That's where they did everything. That was a big deal. So Nicodemus comes by night and says, we know, talking about the Sanhedrin, we know you come from God because no one can do the things you do unless God is with them. And Jesus replies in the most awesome way. Doesn't even acknowledge Nicodemus' statement like, yeah, you're right. You're exactly right, Nicodemus. You spoke right. He says, unless a man be born again, he will not enter the kingdom of heaven. There must be a regeneration, a new birth. Then we have faith given to us so that we can believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. It is the gift of God, according to Galatians 2:8. And then we are adopted as sons and daughters, and we will be sealed with the Holy Spirit of God for all eternity. This is what's great about salvation. Not only did we not have to do anything other than sin, which we're all good at, but God initiates it. God is the one who saves us, and then he seals us. Listen, adoption is a beautiful doctrine because I have a nephew that's adopted, and all the troubles that they went through to get him, there's nothing that they would do to ever give him up. And so I really struggle when people say, man, you know, you better be careful of teaching that because that's dangerous because people can think they can go out and live however they want. Listen to me and hear me well. The Bible strictly teaches against that. In Romans 6, he says, what should we say? Should we go out and sin so that grace much more abound? Absolutely not. Being a Christian and believing that you are sealed and secured by the Holy Spirit of God does not give you a license to sin. It does the contrary, actually. Knowing that you are a Christian and you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, it makes you not want to sin anymore. Because when we understand our complete and total inability to make it to a holy God because of our sinfulness, then we understand the goodness and grace of God that he would even look upon me favorably. What does all mankind deserve because of our sinfulness? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is good news today. So I want to urge you, and we're going to get ready to have a time of invitation very soon. Just as Jesus urged his followers in the beginning of his ministry in Mark 1:15, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." That's the good news. Listen, we all need good news, right? Amen. Amen. I'm glad three of you are with me today. We all need good news. Amen. Because our world is falling apart. There is nothing good. All good things come from God. We even sing great hymns. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Every good thing we have is a gift from God. God is the one who looks favorably upon us, the one who holds us. You want to think about security. Think about this. In John, it talks about how Jesus said, we are placed in the Father's hand, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then he goes on a few verses later, it says that all of his are in his hand, and no one is able to snatch them out. Listen, we may face some tough times and trials in our life. That's a guarantee. But the greatest guarantee of all is that even through the midst of all of these trials and troubles, if we are in Christ, we can't fall away. We can never lose salvation. That's beautiful stuff, by the way. Stand with me. We're going to pray. And we're going to have a time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father God, I thank you so much for the truth that is found in your word. I thank you so much that you gifted us scripture, that it is truly inerrant and infallible, and Lord, that we can read it and we can learn and we can grow in you. And Lord, I just ask that you would be with this time of invitation, God, that your will would be accomplished. Lord, if there are any here that do not know you, that have never truly been born again, God, that you would reveal their sin to them. God, that they would repent of their sin and that they would be saved today. Lord, I thank you so much for the people that are here today. Lord, I just pray that we would be faithful to what you ask us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.